Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, hump day, July 8th, 2020, 9:02 in the a.m. And this is Mayhem on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We now have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com joining me, and Todd Lebo filling in for Nate Bucchetti. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Well, he's not on the phone anymore.
There it is. Jake got me again. Well played.
No, he was there. Jake's not playing games on
you.
Is. No, he was there. I saw the
line. I never know when
there.
This guy's playing games or not.
He would never play a game with a guest.
Play it. Got him.
No.
Got me.
He's not doing that to
These
you.
These nuts. Got him.
No.
Yes.
All right, he's me. Here now. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Got him. He's not there yet. We did get you on that one.
Oh, he got you. I said go to him.
Oh, Jeff. I want to talk to Jeff.
I'm calling. I went to voicemail. I'll get him right back.
Oh,
I
had.
Here, Steven, like I'll let you know when he's there.
Wink, wink.
Don't.
All right, he's calling right in. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go to him, Steven.
Nope. Todd, you take this one.
You're going to make the guest sit online for this long?
Maybe.
Go to him.
Know. Leave me alone. I'm reading Sammy Watkins' tweets right now. You can introduce the next guest.
Steven, I would never lie to you.
You shattered my faith.
Yeah, you would.
You absolutely would. What do you mean? Of course you would lie to me.
Why would I do that?
That's one of the worst arguments. You would. You lie to me all the time.
Just go to him.
I want to. Mm-hmm. He'll talk. When he's there, he'll talk.
I don't know. I want you to go to him.
Jeff needs no introduction.
Jeff, you can hear
me, you can just speak whenever you want. This is your show.
Hello, Jeff Chedia. How you doing?
Good. I don't know what happened.
Hey!
I heard the music playing, and all of a sudden Stephen's voice came on, and it was just silence.
See?
Yeah, that's what happens to most people. They either hang up or turn the station off my voice. I get it. I understand.
He actually heard you say I was here. And he didn't want to talk to me.
No Nate. So.
Is this the ligament? The ligament that I'm talking to?
Yeah, this is the ligament.
That's right.
Okay.
He's holding this all together.
Me. Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I'm not torn. I'm a all bad right. meniscus.
Yeah. Mine is. Hey, so Jeff Chedia, what was your first reaction when you heard the terms, when you heard all the info of the Patrick Mahomes extension?
Well, you know, I've been dealing with Lee Steinberg for a couple of decades, and so you know that going into it, that he wants to make a big splash. You know the value of Patrick Mahomes and what he's done in a short time. So we all knew that was going to be lead to a blockbuster deal. So I think overall, even though it's hard to say you're not surprised by $500 million over 10 years, it's not surprising. I think what's encouraging is the structure of the contract for the Chiefs. Just talking to, you know, people who do these kind of things, GMs and agents, like they were really surprised by how much of a short-term cap hit they took with a contract of this size. Now, obviously, not getting too deep into the weeds on this 10-year deal, it gives you a lot of flexibility. You only have a $10 million signing bonus that gives you a lot of flexibility. And I think Mahomes, as he said yesterday, realized the importance of it's not just about him. Like, he's going to have some help moving forward over the course of the next 10, 12 years. And so I think he was prescient enough to recognize that, and he's going to get his money. It's hard to see a discount's coming when you're talking about something that could potentially be close to $500 million, but I think he did as best he could to give the team some latitude as far as making moves going forward.
Jeff, it really seems like this is kind of a partnership deal, right? And that's, I guess, the way you'd like it to be. It doesn't always work that way in when you're talking about the business of sports, right? But we've seen plenty of acrimonious contracts. I mean, here in Kansas City, we've seen it, right? I mean, Eric Berry wasn't happy that he was on the franchise tag. And then, you know, I mean, we've seen that in recent history, right? And we've seen what happened in Washington, D.C. with a couple of franchise tags for Kirk Cousins, and then he was gone. And they really kind of approached this, and maybe this is just the deal. You know, Patrick Mahomes has this, like, aura about him where everything kind of works out. I mean, who can work out a 10-year, half-a-billion-dollar deal and where the general manager says there were really no contentious times in this? This is the way you'd like to have it happen, where everyone seems to be happy with the deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly speaks to the love affair between Mahomes and this team and the city and that coaching staff and the Red Beach. You're right. A partnership is a great way to look at it because he could have easily been a lot tougher on them in these negotiations. He could have easily asked for a shorter deal, which is, look, you know, I've had agents and GMs tell me, look, this theory, you'll never see another quarterback agent do a deal like this again because it goes so far against what quarterbacks are worth and what someone like him could get. In fact, a lot of people have said he probably won't even finish this deal. He'll probably go halfway through it and they'll tear it up and do a new deal because the way it's structured, like he could have demanded way more money up front. So, yeah, I think that, you know, he certainly is a special kind of talent and a special kind of person to not be so caught up in the money that he realizes he has a good thing here. He realizes that he has a very special situation and that, you know, and I think he's very loyal. I think that's been proven out throughout the course of his life that he, if people are going to believe in him and take a chance on him and give him an opportunity to be all he can be, then he's going to reward them with loyalty.
Jeff Chedilla from NFL Network and NFL.com is our guest. And so everyone feels real good. The Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the fans. I feel great right now about it. How does Chris Jones feel, Jeff Chedilla?
Well, that's a whole different story. And really, the only part of Mahomes' contract that affected Chris Jones was not knowing what it was going to be. Again, talking to people I talked to over there, that the big sticking point for them has always been not knowing what the salary cap's going to be next year in 21. And so while Mahomes' deal doesn't create a big salary cap hit this year or next year or the year after that, the next 3 years, they still got to figure out where Chris Jones stands and what they can pay him. And not knowing what the salary cap's going to be at 21 is a huge, huge roadblock to that. You know, I don't know if that's going to be cleared up in the next 8 days or 7 days. but I do know they have 7 days to try to work something out. There is, and I thought about this after last week's conversation, the one possibility that I could see where they could work something out with Chris Jones is if they're already looking at who they would have to let go of. And if you say, for example, with Frank Clark is, you've got 4 years left on his deal. If you do a deal with Chris Jones, that's 4 years, and you say, okay, in that last year, we're going to let Frank go, that could make sense. But I don't know if they want to do that. The whole issue with Chris Jones is always going to be if you have him in the fold, somewhere down the line, somebody you also value is going to have to go. And so that's what they have to figure out. And is there really a lot of value in paying two defensive linemen serious money? Because Chris Jones is not going to do a deal like Patrick Mahomes just did. It's going to be a deal that's front-loaded. It's going to be a deal where the money is going to be paid, be a lot of money up front. And it's probably going to be, if he had his way, 4 or 5 years. Probably more likely four. So I think that's the reality for Chris Jones.
And I guess, Jeff, one of the realities of football is, you know, we were just talking to Joel Corey last hour, and the general managers are thinking about these contracts in like these three-year chunks. And this Mahomes thing is multiple three-year chunks, right? Because as a quarterback, it's a different deal. You can't depend on Frank Clark being a player in 7 years or Chris Jones being a player in 7 years. So when you're doing this, I mean, out there somewhere, someone is, you know, signing a letter of intent to play college football who's going to be a Chief at the end of Frank Clark's contract, right? And you got to just hope that you're able to figure out who that player is in 2 or 3 years and draft that player and have him be your guy if you're not talking about a quarterback. In the end, anyone, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, they're all great players. They can all be the next guy is, you know, 20 years old somewhere. He's going to be the next Chief there.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. Patrick Mahomes' deal can be done because you expect him to be here. You know he's not going anywhere. You're crossing your fingers that he's going to stay healthy. You're not going to have any issues. You're not expecting any kind of decline in play as he gets older. When you look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing at this age, and you know what Tom Brady is playing, Drew Brees, all these guys are playing well, and you know into their late 30s, early 40s. So that's a pretty much a known factor. You know, with Chris Jones, in regards to all the players on the Chiefs roster. I wrote this. I said, look, the key to the Chiefs is not – Patrick Mahomes is the biggest key to the Chiefs, but the whole thing works as a dynasty if you're able to make the right moves, if you're able to draft well, if you're able to sign cost-effective free agents, if you're able to let go of veterans who are going to cost too much money, who are aging. As much as we talk about the Patriots and what they've done, people give Tom Brady way too much credit and all that. And I say all the time, it's like when you look at the teams that they had when they won their when they had their first dynasty, those teams were loaded with veteran guys who had been around the league for a long time, who were going to go to the Hall of Fame, and who were able, mature enough to be able to understand how this works together. They those guys had made their money. They weren't looking for big paydays. They weren't looking for big ego plays. And so you need to be able to continually recreate the chemistry the Chiefs had last year, which to me was a big part of why they won. You know, even Mahomes would tell you that he's not winning a championship if Chris Jones is making the plays that he makes, if Tyron Matthew doesn't come over here, if Frank Clark's not there, Travis Kelce. So you have to keep finding those players over and over and over again if you want to keep winning championships.
Jeff Chedia is our guest, and so the other topic has been how this contract is going to affect some of the other quarterbacks that are looking for a new deal. And look, Dak Prescott's in the NFC, and I'm not overly concerned about that. I am curious, though, how this affects Deshaun Watson, because I think that one of the things that and I've pointed this out a couple of times, and even Patrick Mahomes mentioned this in the press conference, that this was not only a commitment from the Chiefs to Patrick Mahomes, that this shows the level of trust and a commitment from Mahomes to sign this long-term deal and to stay in Kansas City, because any team would line up to pay him that amount of money to have him as their quarterback. Now, every report that I've seen is Deshaun Watson wants that money, but he wants a 3-year deal, which I think speaks volumes, yeah, number one, about his level of trust with Bill O'Brien, the head coach and the GM, which are two different guys or the same guy or whatever, how you want to split that up. But that says something about Mahomes, how he feels that he's in the perfect spot. What about Deshaun Watson? How is this going to affect those negotiations?
Well, I think just, you know, the way this thing has been going in the NFL, for the most part, the teams have gone away, players have gone away from doing the longer deals, longer extensions. You know, most players nowadays want to do, especially quarterbacks, want to do 3-4-year deals. You've seen that with Russell Wilson. You've seen that with Carson Wentz. I think Jared Goff had a 4-year extension. Because the idea is that you can get another bite at the apple once the market resets. And so, you know, Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott aren't the level of quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. But what they're looking at is, okay, we get past 2022, we have new TV deals in place. There's more money in the pool for us to get paid. Why would you want to be locked up in a deal that's not going to allow you to get a taste of that money? I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, whether they trust the teams they're with. It's whether they look at this as a business. And so, you know, again, I think Patrick, to his credit, and maybe to his detriment, you know, if you don't, just from a financial standpoint, is willing to say, I'd rather be with this team and worry less about the money I'm making, whereas these guys are saying, look, there's more money to be made out there. I'm going to get it. And so I do think they're both going to get their money at some point. And I think Deshaun Watson, probably the way Bill O'Brien throws around cash, I think he'll be just fine.
But isn't part of that, you talked about Mahomes' financial situation, and look, he's making a bunch of money from the Chiefs, but also in what separates him from Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson is the amount of money he makes in endorsements. I mean, he being a part, and that all ties into being a part of a championship level team, playing in the Super Bowl, winning MVPs. I mean, it's gonna be like more like Peyton Manning with the endorsements and putting his face on everything. He can make as much money as he wants in endorsements, and that does make a difference.
Yeah. But you know, look, Dak Prescott is not losing money off endorsements either. He's been on national commercials, so I think that there's value in being a Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback that he'll have to recognize at some point. But your point is right, that at some point, for all these guys, it's a matter of what do you need to make you happy. And like it's easy to look at what Patrick did and see the nobility in it, but I'm sure he also wanted to be the highest paid player in professional sports. I'm sure that mattered to him.
It might have mattered more to Lee than it did to him. Who knows, right?
Exactly. I think it mattered more to Lee, yeah. So that headline, every time you see that Lee Feinberg just like pumping his fist, like, yeah, we got what we wanted here.
It's weird, Jeff. Yeah, it's almost like somehow, I mean, this is like the magic of Patrick Mahomes. Somehow, he got a $500 million contract, and it's still sort of a hometown discount. I don't know how they were able to do that. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really break down the numbers of the deal, if you talk to people who do this kind of stuff, like a Joel Corr, I mean, I think, what is it, the guarantees are only like, what, $140 million right now?
Yeah, the injury guarantee if something tragic happened, yeah.
Exactly. And so we got $63 million at signing, which, to give you an idea of the perspective on this, like Ryan Tannehill got $91 million guaranteed at signing. So that's the kind of difference he's taking here in terms of contractual obligations. But again, I don't think that – I take him at his word if the money is not important to him, because he just showed the money is not that big a deal to him, that he's going to get – he's going to get paid. He's going to have his success off the field. He's going to have plenty of things to do. The question is whether he can win championships or not. I think that's what he's talked about, and they've talked about openly trying to build a dynasty. So, you know, and that's where it's at. But he certainly is a rarity in that regard in sports.
Jeff Chedia is our guest. Jeff, we had Joel Corey on a little bit earlier, and Todd Lebo asked him a little bit about the back and forth that's going on between NFLPA right now and the situation that is that's on the horizon. And Lebo, if you want to rephrase the question, because I thought you made some good points in asking Joel Corey, I'd like to hear what Jeff Chedia has to say about this.
Well, we're starting to see things from the NFLPA president, the J.C. Treader, right? The center for Cleveland, he's put something up there on the president's post or whatever every week on the NFLPA's website, and they're talking about, you know, they said no preseason games, and the NFL kind of fell on deaf ears with them. They're talking about putting 35% of this money in escrows. I think people were just excited that football hadn't had any acrimony, but we're probably heading towards some acrimony in this, right? I mean, stands to reason that football's not going to start as just totally be regular. I mean, there's no chance that every stadium's going to have full stadiums of fans. It's not happening in September. We know that. But there's going to be some money that the owners aren't going to want to give the players right away. And they're going to – maybe they've learned their lessons from baseball and maybe how to go about it differently. But this will not be smooth, right?
Oh, no, no. This is going to be very, very difficult. And I think the league and the players are realizing that now. They've been able to sit back and look at what's happened with, you know, baseball and with the NBA and not have to really commit to anything. But ultimately, those sports have had the same battles the league is getting ready to take on now. And when you think about, look, football was always going to be the toughest sport to reopen because of the contact, because of the amount of people. And I agree with you. It's hard for me to see any fans in the stadium. It's, you know, it's just the way the world is going. It's like every day I look at the news, I see more and more red, deep red states on the map with coronavirus spikes. And so when you're talking about having to figure out preseason games, and we're like, what, almost, what, it's July 8th. We've got a little over a month to go, and they can't even figure that out. They can't figure out the money part of this. Yeah, it's going to be ugly. Because I understand the players' take on this, which is they're putting their safety at risk. And I understand the owners' take on this, which is we're about to get killed financially.
It's not going to be easy for them to figure out, and this will be negotiated. And here's what I think, Jeff, and it's hard for me to sit there and say what's in someone's heart or whatever. But when you're talking about football, you're talking about rosters of, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 people, right? And you're talking about guys like Patrick Mahomes who, you know, have millions of dollars already. And you're talking about some dudes who didn't get drafted who, to make the minimum for 1 year, would be the best thing that's ever happened anywhere in their lives, and they couldn't believe it if they ever made, about making $600,000 or whatever it is. It's hard to get all those guys on the same page. I think more so in this sport than others just because of the numbers of people who are in it?
Oh, without question. Yeah, if you're someone like Garrett Dieter, not having preseason in games is a big issue for you. That's where you're going to be able to make your mark and make the team. If you're Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, you really don't care, you know. But this goes back to go back to the last CBA agreement that was done back in March, and look at how many players didn't vote for that. Look at how much, I think half the players didn't even vote for that. Look at how many players were more concerned about, you know, the minimum salaries and how much money they're going to be able to make versus guys like Aaron Rodgers who were saying, this is a BS deal. We can't do this. So you're right. There's just so many different competing interests that it's going to take a while. And, you know, it's as much as we'd like to believe it's as simple as reopening. And I think I heard on your station, Sean Doolittle was talking. I think it was a Sam Mellinger who was doing a segment, and he had a Sean Doolittle clip about reopening sports and how we want it. We don't want to do the work that goes into having it happen. You know, whether it's wearing the mask and doing the right public safety stuff, or just figuring out, hey, it's more than just money. There's a lot of protocols, a lot of things that have to go into this safety wise that we're not even thinking about just yet. And so I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see all these sports reopen and finish on time, but I'm just skeptical of them all having issues at some point, major issues.
Jeff Chedilla is our guest. What did you think? I haven't said this gentleman's name in a while, and I'm happy to do it. Dontari Poe.
Dontari Poe.
Oh, boy. Remember back in the day? What was the play? Hungry Pig, right? Is that right, Lebo?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys defensive
second best offensive weapon.
That's right.
Yes, Jamal Charles and Dontari Poe. The 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch.
Oh, boy, I was so excited when they did that against the Broncos. Dallas Cowboys defensive tackle Dontari Poe says he likely will kneel during the national anthem this season, and he's hoping team owner Jerry Jones will end his silence on racial injustice and express support for his players. He just signed with Dallas as a free agent and then told Bleacher Report he hasn't spoken with Jones, and I'm sure Jerry Jones is thrilled with the signing now. He said, haven't talked to Jerry at all. I hope he comes out and shows his support. You're an owner of an NFL team. You get what I'm saying? The majority of this team are these people that are being oppressed. So even if you're not going to be in the forefront, we need to know that we have your support in that type of way. How do you think Jerry Jones is taking the comments from free agent acquisition Dontari Poe?
That's like, what's that line at Jay-Z song? Grand opening, grand closing? Every one of those things. Like, I don't know if Dontari Poe, I appreciate the message he's sending. I don't know if he should be the messenger for it, but a lot of big name guys down there who could be talking to Jerry Jones about that. And I kind of want to give Jerry Jones a break in this, because I think, you know, you can say silence is a lot here, but I think, you know, he's got a lot on his plate probably in dealing with Dak Prescott, his contract, and everything else, the money he's probably going to lose. So there are other things happening in some of these guys' world that are not, you know, all about racial unrest and social justice. And so I do suspect that the way the world is going, that Jerry Jones is a smart enough person to understand the importance of getting by supporting his players, supporting this movement, because he's had, well, obviously Ezekiel Elliott spoke up in that video with Patrick Mahomes. He has plenty of players who are speaking up on behalf of this movement. And so I think he will do something to support them. I don't think his silence means that he's going to be trying to shut things down.
Jeff Chedilla from NFL Network and NFL.com is our guest. And Jeff, I mean, this is, you know, like you just said there, it's something maybe the most important to one person, and it's just not on someone else's radar, right? Because Jerry's got a lot of stuff going on, and they've obviously been dealing with this. They're trying to figure out, I mean, they used to fly to California for training camp now, right? Well, they don't do that anymore. They can't because of the rules. It ain't happening. They just now got some protocols, I guess, in the last day or so about what they can do. They're going to try to have a couple opportunities where they can make some money at training camp where fans can come in if your locality allows that to happen. So there are some things happening in that way. So they're probably not the very first, you know, item on the agenda is what's going to happen with the national anthem at these games. I tend to think if there's no fans at the games, I don't know if they'll be doing national anthems with people there, players there. I don't know. I mean, we've seen this thing about, you know, the possibility of playing the black national anthem. I could see some of these things happening, but maybe this is the time to just to stop worrying about that. If there's no fans there, what are you having the ceremony for, right? I don't know.
I think the most important thing right now for the NFL, and you've seen other sports, is figuring out how to keep people safe. And I think that's players, that's coaches, that's officials, that's fans. I've heard people say, how can you have officials running around? Most of these guys are average age 55. How can you have them running around and touching a football and breaking up scrums when these guys may be totally vulnerable to this? That's not to say that Black Lives Matter doesn't have a place in all this or isn't important. It's just to say that there are a lot of things that got to get sorted out. And if you start getting too caught up in saying, you have to start prioritizing things, because now we're talking about a month away or less than a month away from training camp opening up, 3 weeks. And if ducks aren't in a row, trust me, September 10th is going to be here pretty quickly. I think the last thing anybody wants to have is an NFL season that's starting with a half-assed plan in place. You know, you got to really have your protocols in place. I mean, it's not going to be as easy as it sounds. We all want it back, but ultimately, to make it come back, there's going to be a lot of conversation, a lot of negotiation, and a lot of really proactive thinking going on.
Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff, thank you very much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, buddy.
That's Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. We will take a break. When we come back, we've got some more sound from yesterday's star-powered Zoom press conference with Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Patrick Mahomes. We've got some more Mahomes to play, and we haven't played Brett Veach, so we'll hear that after this on WHB.